Welcome to the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer's Sermon Podcast.
The readings appointed for this sermon are from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 through 40, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7 through 21, the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, and Psalm 22, verse 24 through 30.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
A few years ago, when traveling anywhere was out of the question because of, you know what, many homeowners thought of turning their own yards into destinations worthy of traveling to, and the staycation was born. My backyard was a blank slate full of weeds. They were green, but there was not a blade of grass in there. I wanted a place outside that was worth traveling to. A yard that reminded me of the places I'd been to and loved. A reminder of those places in my memory. Clear Lake, the working class resort of my early childhood with the woods and the hammock and arbor. Olympic National Forest in Washington. Glacier National Park. The Japanese Gardens in San Francisco and Spokane. And finally, Children's Fairyland in Oakland. And anything Alice in Wonderland, all together in one yard. Now, I'm too scrawny to dig a hole deeper than 3 inches. I just can't do it. So I hired a landscaper to plant the trees that I bought. In my usual getting carried away with everything habit, I eventually ended up with, in a medium-sized yard, 2 red bud trees, 3 magnolias, 7 dogwoods, and 13 Japanese maples, all different. Woodsy, right? After I planted, I told the trees, you're on your own, not taking care of you. I did not want to actually work in my yard. I'm all for no maintenance gardening. The trees had to take care of themselves. It was a transactional relationship between me and my trees. I gave them dirt. They gave me beauty, shade, and supplemental oxygen. I was not going to fuss over them. I wasn't going to water them, hug them, or prune them. I'm not a gardener. I'm a stay-at-home tourist. It ended up being a pretty nice yard with the decorations added, with the bridges and dry stream bed and Japanese lanterns and the self-pouring teapot and the white rabbit and so on. But because I do not tend my garden, a couple of trees have died, and a bunch of trees have branches that are dead, or at least they don't have any leaves on them. And other branches are scraggly, because they don't completely take care of themselves. I'm really disappointed, because I thought they would. I don't really give them the love and the care that they need, and so they don't always flourish. I don't abide in them, and they definitely do not abide in me. I guess I haven't haven't cared enough to prune what needs pruning, and I've treated them as kind of independent beings, independent from me at least. But Jesus cared enough. He doesn't just leave us to fend for ourselves, vulnerable to all sorts of dangers in the world. He cares so much that he doesn't just hang around sometimes and come visit us every few days. He abides in us. He dwells in us. And remember, God is love. Love dwells in us. As the vine, he is the source of life and love, and he wants us to draw from that holy life and love. But sometimes we need some basic pruning. We need pruning or cutting out whatever keeps us from abiding in him, from living in his love. So Jesus gives life to the spirit and to the soul that is inside of us. In our interior life, we are a mixed bundle of branches of loves and fears and hopes and dreams, resentments, jealousies. We have maybe a praying to God branch, right? We have a how you treat your neighbor branch. We have a what comes first in your life branch, and we have a whoever cuts you off in traffic and what do you do branch. and so on. Some branches are worth keeping and nurturing, but some branches sprout that are unhealthy to our spiritual life and dangerous to our soul. Those are the branches in us that draw nutrients away from the healthy branches, the gospel branches. They keep us from being totally committed to the gospel branches, as it were. The grudge toward your neighbor branch threatens the love your neighbor branch. And when you feed and keep that grudge, your commitment to love of neighbor gets diminished. When I was a new interim rector 10 years ago, I made a decision to tell an informal assisting priest that she needed to leave the parish. It was policy, that's true, and allowable. Clergy are often asked to leave during an interim. But it wasn't kind, and it wasn't even strictly necessary. And it was just before Christmas. And I kind of knew it wasn't right for me to do, because I did it partly out of insecurity and defensiveness. She was very hurt and angry. And for years, it gnawed at me. I needed to make things right, I knew. I needed to make things right with her. But I fought that needing to make things right with that traditional response, no, I won't say sorry. It was only a few years ago at diocesan convention that I bumped into her, and I apologized for what I had done to her. Now, we did both hug and cry, but Jesus had to prune the pride out of me before I could do that. It's hard to be pruned. It's painful even, just like it's hard to give up old habits and old practices. Change is hard. Transformation is hard. Humility is hard. It can hurt to have my bad attitude or my various beloved resentments and jealousies or my materialistic covetousness taken away from me. Secretly, I like those. But the bad branches end up starving the good ones. I shouldn't still keep resenting the man who borrowed my father's bagpipes 30 years ago and never gave it back. But the feeling is so satisfying to be that mad, so I keep feeding it. It feels so good to be mad at him. When we keep feeding our resentments, our unlovable, unloving habits, we starve the godly ones and we bear less fruit. That is, we have less room in our hearts for love. But it's hard to give up our old habits. We can't do it by ourselves. So Jesus says to us, reassurance, I abide in you. I'm with you, he says. My love is with you. I will not leave you. He says, abide in me as I abide in you. He says, lean on me. We can do it. We can abide in him. We can. It's an amazing thing that he promises that we can abide in the Christ, that God can live in us. Just think about it, how amazing that is. And that's the whole point of what Jesus is saying in this passage about the vine and the branches, that he abides in us and we abide in him. I know that's a lot of abiding. It kind of gets you off, you know. But what he's saying is we're together. He's saying that we're not only on our own, like my poor trees are. He's saying we're together here. He says, I'm with you and you're with me and we will do this mission thing together. Together, we will establish the kingdom of God. Together, we will set up the beloved community. Together, we will change the world. We will spread love together, and we will bring hope to the world together. Right after the passage that we heard today, Jesus tells his disciples, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As his branches, he asks us to carry out his love to the world. His co-abiding with us makes us interdependent with him, as we need him, who's the source of life and love, to empower us. So also, he needs us. He needs us, his hands and feet in the world, to carry out his mission, to complete his work in the world. That's why he prunes us, so that we can be fully committed to him. As the passage says, he prunes us so we can be more fruitful, so that we can go out into the world, as Gary would say, to love and serve the world. That's a big ask. How do we do it? That's a big ask. There's a story that I've heard about Jesus after his ascension into heaven, which we'll celebrate soon. His ascension, when he meets with the angels up there in heaven. They're so excited that he has finally come back to heaven. And he sees the archangel Gabriel, and Gabriel says, Jesus, we're so glad you're back. But now, what will the people down there do without you? How will they carry out your work without you? How can they do that? And Jesus answers. He says, well, I've been preparing them. I taught them. And I showed them what they need to do. And I made them witnesses to God. My disciples, Peter and James and John and the rest, they will spread the word to the people around them. They'll teach and baptize them. And those others will be witnesses too. And they will spread the word to still others. And it will go on and on and on until the whole world will know my message about God's love and God's kingdom. With my first disciples here, the message will grow and grow and grow until the disciples will be as numerous as the grains of sand on the beach. And the good news will be known to the ends of the earth. And then Gabriel says, but Jesus, what if it doesn't work? What if Peter and the others don't follow through? You know how reliable they are. What if they don't spread the word like you say? What if they mess up? Do you have another way? What's your plan B? And Jesus says, Gabriel, I have no plan B. I'm counting on them. We are Jesus' plan A. He's counting on us. But he has prepared us for this work. He has pruned us. He came to abide in us, dwell in us, so he can teach us. And then, through him and the life that he gives to us, he's given us the strength and courage to love and serve him. And so that we can go out and fulfill his plan A. So now it's time. Let's go do it. Amen.